I don't know how many of you were there. Brother Marty preached a message about heaven. And I was not there. I had to work that day. But I have listened to it online twice. And I want to go back and listen some more. Because I think there are some secrets to the message that he was sharing with us. And so I'd like to share a little bit about what he said first before we start. What we think heaven to be. Now we have some descriptions, and he told about this. He said we have some descriptions in the Bible. Streets of gold, gates of pearl, mansions. But I was kind of interested in how Brother Marty looked at all that. He said, you know, we've been taught all our life, don't put much stock in those kind of things. Gold shouldn't be that important to me. So he said, maybe the Lord is just trying to, through scripture, the inspiration that they got was just to say, it's going to be better than anything you could imagine it to be. And I believe that. And he said that, use earthly terms to describe something that is the majesty of heaven. How could you pick a word that would describe it? But he said it's easy for us to fit heaven to what we think it to be. And you remember he gave a story or just the thought of a man there that loves to fish and he's got his straw hat and he's at the bank of the river and got his hound dog with him. And you know, the things that we really enjoy and we just say, you know what, this could be like heaven. And I have read obituaries where people, there's many, many people that have a vision of heaven. Yes. One that I read in an obituary, apparently this was kind of a wild young man that died. And it said he's up there tonight dancing with angels. And then before the obituary was over, said he's flirting with the angels today. And I thought, you know, many, many people have their own description of what heaven is. But you know what? I got thinking, I kind of have my own description. I'd like to fit it to be myself. And I've mentioned it before. When we went, I don't know, maybe it was just the timing was right. But when we went to Colorado a few weeks ago and found this place that was just so quiet, I think the Lord maybe made beautiful nature for us to think, you know what? If this earth is this nice, what is heaven going to be like? And I remember while I was there thinking, you know what, Lord, you could just, if you wanted to make this scene right here to be heaven, I'd be happy with it. You know, if we took sin out, there's a lot of places on this earth that would be a great place to spend eternity if he were there. But also there was something else that he mentioned. He said there was a young man that spoke to a minister and said, how could a loving God send anyone to hell? And that minister responded to him, said he doesn't send anyone to hell. He honors our desire. Yeah. Said he would not want to send you to a place that in life you could not stand even the thought of it. And many people live how they want to, but at the end, the obituary says he's gone to heaven. A place that he made no preparations for. Had no desire to do the things that would get him there. But at the end, I've just understand there's two places and I'd rather not go to this other. Well, here's what it made me think about. I have a desire to go to heaven. And you know what? I want to prove to the Lord that I'm really, really interested in going there. This song came to my mind, From Death to Life. It said, their light and life without an end into eternity shall blend. And I, the Lord of life, shall greet and worship at his blessed feet. Then may I clasp his nail-scarred hands, which broke for me death's awful bands. By his great love, how could it be? From death to life, he lifted me. You know, I would like to have in my thoughts as we're going through every day, to remember what this is all about. I would like for my life, their light and life without an end, into eternity shall blend. I would like for my life to close out was such a smooth transition from here to heaven.
Yes, sir.
Now there is another song that 409 Eternity. I thought of the crashing of ages when time and eternity meet. I don't want that to be how my life ends and I start out into eternity. And I look at scriptures that are going to be like that crashing. I had this thought, I had this desire, but it didn't end up that way. When I read in Matthew, the 7th chapter, right at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, it said there's going to be many people in that day are going to say, Lord, Lord. I thought this was going to be a smooth transition from my life that I was living to heaven. And what did he say? I never knew you. I don't want that. So what I've been thinking that I'd like to share with you tonight is I would like for us to look at what would it be, what do I need to do in this life to improve my opportunity for it to be a smooth transition from this life, a fit from this life. No big, the Lord saying, well, you really didn't seem like you even wanted to go there by the life you live. And you know, many people with sin in their life would like to still go to heaven. We're not there. But you know, I want to improve, and this is not about saying we can make heaven on our own. It can't be done. It's going to take the blood of Christ for us to be able to make heaven anyhow. But I think once that blood has been applied, there's some things that would help me to start thinking. We sang maybe three songs tonight that I noticed the verse was talking about, since my treasure is over there. I want my treasure to be over there. Well, you know, I can start working on that, and that's what I would like for us to look at this evening. I'd like to start with a verse in Colossians 3:1. It says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, and not on things of the earth. For me to start looking at heaven out ahead, I want this smooth transition. You know, I don't want to leave this earth planning on going to heaven, but it was such a, I had so much drawing me to stay here. I had spent my life saving up money for retirement, and now it looks like I'm going to die before I get to use that retirement. I don't want that to be a draw. You know, I'd love to live my life like Job did. Greatest man in the East, God had blessed him with material things. But when those things left him, he said the Lord gave it. The Lord took it away. There is a place for us to live where we set our affection on things above, not on things of the earth. And yet I live as if I may have to stay here for many, many more years. There is a place for us, a balance for us to be able to do both. And the interesting thing to me is the Lord's watching. He knows the thoughts and the intents of my heart. Yes. He knows where my draw is. And he would like to encourage us even tonight. If I have my heart set too much on temporal things here, that the Lord will help me to know how to balance it. Because he won't be telling us, okay, sell everything, let's put the money in a communal pot here at Oklahoma City and we'll live out of it because he's coming again. That was tried in the 5th chapter of Acts. And Jesus didn't come back. So we know that that's not going to be what he's going to ask for. What he's going to do is he's going to allow us to have a job, have some money, but start thinking, what is it? Set your affection. Yes. My affection is not building more wealth as my main desire. Yes. But Lord, I ask you to help me to always realize I'm headed for another country. And I was thinking about the example that Paul gave us. I was looking at a verse. I don't guess I have read this verse for a while. 26:19. Paul is talking to King Agrippa. And he told him about the meeting that he had when the light from heaven came. And in this 19th verse, he said, "Whereupon, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision." And I heard several times during the meeting, and I heard this morning in the message, without a vision, the people perish. You know, Paul had a vision here, and he said, "I was not disobedient to that heavenly vision." So he took where the Lord had dealt with him that time on the road to Damascus, and it shaped his life throughout. And we were able to see in the books that he wrote how he kept his eyes on the prize that was out ahead. Did he have no trouble in his life? He had lots of trouble. But he was always able to, "None of these things move me." And he had another vision that I believe also helped him. And his was, it's in 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, where he caught a vision of what heaven was like. You know, I think if we could do that, and if we could hold on to that vision, it would help us in the decisions that we're making, the choices that we're making. It helped him in the 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. Fourth verse, how that he was caught up into paradise, and he heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. And then on the 7th verse, lest I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of the revelations, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Caught him a vision, and that vision was so strong, and he kept it before him, that when he had this thorn in the flesh, and he prayed 3 times for it to be removed, and it wasn't, he just moved on with life, committed that part into the Lord's hands, and was able to keep on looking out ahead, to where he came to a place that at the end of it all, after all the shipwrecks, after all of the times of having been beaten, he says, "I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course." Through the whole thing, he was able to keep, I believe, in view these visions that had been given to him. I think it's very important for us today. Last year was a year like none other.
Yes.
It really made me wonder. This is not just a problem in the United States of COVID. This is worldwide. This is India. I talked to the folks in Germany. They said they are closed down to where they are not even able in a service to sing. They have to wear their mask. It's 2 people can sing up in the front. When the minister preaches, said he can remove his mask to preach and then put it back on again when he leaves the pulpit. So this is not a problem that just faces us. This is worldwide. And, you know, we can blame it on China. We can do a lot of things. But you know what I'd like for us to look at? God is in control of all things. God has allowed something that I don't know of anything else would be able to do what this has done. Entertainments. What would it take for you to pass a law that we're not going to have football season now because, you know, we're not going to have the people that come to watch it? You can play a game, but won't be anybody in the stands. Can you imagine how hard that'd be to put much interest into playing the game when there's nobody there to watch it? Entertainments of all kinds to be shut down. It's amazing what has happened in last year. But it's made me wonder, as we think about heaven, could we be close to the end? I know when I was a young child, ministers thought we were close to the end. But I'm wondering, this is something that the Lord is allowing to affect the whole world. Seeing how easily someone can be healthy one day, catch this and be gone out of here into eternity. Well, what's it going to do for us? Is it going to have us to be paranoid? No. Help me to go ahead, Lord, and look at those things that are above. Set my affections on those things above, so that when it comes my time to leave this, it's a little simple merge from time into eternity with heaven in mind. When I leave work, Right now there's construction that is happening at I-44 and Broadway Extension. It's been going on for several months. But there is just one place that is, I believe I've come to the place where I'm going to stop going that way because it's so dangerous. But when I'm coming north on Broadway Extension and I want to go east on I-44, as I go up into that, there's so much construction going on, it's real hard to tell who's in what lane. And so I'm looking because there's this little lane right next to me, but it's also right beside it is the interstate. You just see cars just moving on it. And I've had several times where I think, okay, they're over in the other lanes, but they're not. They happen to be in the one that I could be hit with. And I thought about, you know what, that's not a simple merge. There's other places where you could have, I remember up in Stillwater, when you would get off of 51 and coming down on I-35, I believe that's the longest place I've ever seen that you can go a mile or something before you have to make a decision. So you got plenty of time to make it. Well, for us to be able to have this merge, I want the Lord to be able to help me, because I believe there's a place where with assurance, when the Lord calls for us, I could have set my mind on spiritual things. It doesn't mean that I don't take care of the temporal things, but that I have tuned in to the spiritual. Seek those things which are above. And here's one thing that I believe is going to help us. It's in Hebrews 11 and 13. They confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. You know, for us to live our life saying, I'm headed for this heavenly country. If and while I'm here, I'm working to put some money aside should I come to a place where I don't work again. But you know what I want to do is stay at the place to where, should that one day be dissolved, there is no money there. What will it do to me? There were people that in the past, when all of a sudden everything that they had saved for was gone, you know, we found out where their heart was because all hope was gone then. And there were people that committed suicide in the past because of that. You know what we can do is we can do like Job. Job's heart was not on his riches. The Lord gave it. The Lord took it away. The Lord can return it again if he wants to. It's all in his hands. But what I want to do is be like this over here in 11 and 13. Because to confess it with my mouth is one thing, but to show it by my life is another. They that say such things declare plainly, they're seeking a country. And if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. You know, at any time, we can turn our view away from this heavenly country that we're headed for, and we can get wrapped up in this world and the things around us. And I'm not talking about sinful things, but just things that can consume my mind on the temporal things of this life. But this one says they desire a better country. That is in heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. I was thinking about the story that I read of Christian Pilgrim's Progress. When he heard the call from the city of destruction, that it's going to be destroyed. Remember, he put his fingers in his ears and he said, life, life. Started running. Life, life. Eternal life. I've got a goal in mind. I've got a direction that I'm going. Did he have no failures in his life? He had some failures. But what I love about him was he never lost his view of where he wanted to be. If he fell in the slough of despond, when he got out, he got out on the celestial city side of it, and he continued on. He never turned back. That's what we're going to need to be able to do, is have our view out ahead. Lord, should I fail you? Should I get too consumed with temporal things? Lord, please rein me back in again. Help me to be able to understand this is not where it's all at. I'm going to be leaving this, and I don't want it to be a big transition to be able to go from here to there, but that it would be smooth. We sing this song, this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Does that mean then that we can find nothing enjoyable about this? Mm-mm. We ought to be able to enjoy what God has given us here, but be able to always say, if what he has allowed us to enjoy here is this great, what is heaven going to be like? And I want to start laying things aside for that. That song that we sing, I would never miss seeing Jesus. In choices that we make throughout our life, that I would always have in my mind, I'm headed for another country. I want to spend it with Christ. So in the choices that I make, I'd never, by God's help, make a choice that turns me in the wrong direction. I'd never miss seeing Jesus. I'd never miss seeing loved ones who have gone on before. I would never trade forever for a few days down here. I would never miss heaven for the world. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Though the things of this world may allure, and it's going to do it for every one of us, it's going to try to have a draw to us. But let's be able to realize what's valuable, that I would be able to think on heavenly things and be able to make that transition when he calls for me. How do we do it? What verses do we have to instruct us? I saw one over in Matthew. Because you know what? We heard requests tonight about direction for jobs. We need to be able to continue to work. So this one gives me some instruction in Matthew 6 and 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. This is number one for me. I'm seeking him first with his righteousness, and then all these other things will be added to you. You know, I have been watching over the last few weeks about what Clint's working with right now. There are more and more people becoming unemployed, and it would seem like your choices for getting a job is getting weaker and weaker. But you know what I've noticed is that he's put first the kingdom of God. He knew, okay, here's one step the Lord wants me to take, and that is to take care of the congregation there. So he got that locked down. He knows, okay, here's what I do no matter what else happens. You know, it's almost got me anticipating the Lord's got a plan. He knows he's got something out there for him. He's got it for us. If we will do our part, seeking first the kingdom of God. Put this one as number one in my life. Lord, I want your righteousness to be what I seek after. And then all these other things that I need, they will come. They'll be added to me. Then there's another verse that's in Matthew 6 also. In the 19th verse, here's where we need to balance. Lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through nor steal. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So what instruction is that giving us? Is it saying, if you're a Christian, don't have a savings account, don't lay up any money? No, because we'd find other verses that say, go to the ant, thou sluggard. This ant, by creation, knows to start laying back some things for some bad months that are out ahead. But I think what it's telling us is, don't let your heart get set on this to where you forget about it. The story that we read about, I think, is the instruction that the Lord would give us of how to balance temporal things. The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And then he said within himself, all he's doing is thinking. He hasn't built another barn. He hasn't done anything yet. It's in the thought process. But what his thought process is I'm laying it up for here. I'm going to say to my soul, soul, take thine ease. Thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Eat, drink, and be merry. And God says, thou fool, this night your soul will be required of you. And then whose will all these things be? I believe that story gives us instruction that there is nothing wrong with him being a successful farmer. You know, if he could just keep a balance of, you know what, I'm a pilgrim here. I'm here for a little bit of time. What would the Lord have me to do with the successes that he gives me? It's not about that I'm going to make it for myself more than what I need. I want to be able to understand I'm headed out of here. I'm going to be gone one day. And I don't want it to be like song number 409 says, it was a crashing of ages when I left out of here claiming to be a Christian, but I have been consumed with so many things that I wasn't ready. The Lord doesn't want that. We can make it, and I am so thankful for that. And Job left us an example. Before Jesus ever came, Job was able to have a balance in his life that as success came to him and as it left him, he was able to say the Lord is the one that is in control of it all. There is something else that I think is important for us as I am viewing heaven out ahead. I need to stop sometimes and get some quiet time to where I think about it. And that song number 109, alone in some secure retreat. We've got things that are wanting to crowd our mind all the time and fill it with something. Maybe none of it is even sinful, but it's filling our mind and our time. That verse says, alone in some secure retreat, the sky o'ershadows me. All nature smiles so soft and sweet. I'm thinking, Lord, of thee. You remember Mary, Jesus' mother, there were more than one time, I believe, that it said she pondered these things in her heart. We are in a time where the electronic age can have my mind consumed with so many things. It's going to be very important for me to have a heavenly vision. Without a vision, my chances are going to be that I'll perish. But with a heavenly vision, I start discarding some things that don't help me to keep that vision improved. And for each of us, I would love when my time comes to go that I have this the status of the man in Psalms 1:1. Blessed is the man. He made some choices in his life. He doesn't walk in the things that are wrong. Let's take a look at that. But there were some things that he did. He walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, doesn't stand in the way of sinners, doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful. But there's some things that he's been doing, and it's going to be very good for him when the call comes, it's time to leave here. What was he doing? His delight is in the law of the Lord. And in this law, he meditates day and night. There are a lot of things that want to call for the attention of my mind, for me to spend my thought process on. If I want to have this merge to be a smooth transition, Lord help me to spend more time of what this man did. Not just, okay, I tell you what, I've got to read. I haven't read today. I've got to read. And I say for this, Lord help me too. This one says it was his delight. It was what he enjoyed doing. It was not that, well, you know what, I'm going to meet the Lord one day, and if he checks how much time I've read, I might be in trouble. No, what I want him to do is I want him to know I have a delight to know, Lord, what you would have me to do, know better. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. You know, there's times that I wake up in the middle of the night and can't go back to sleep. And I've had a battle in my mind of stopping thoughts that want to run. Not sinful thoughts, but just I had a job at work that I need to complete. I'm not going to do a thing about it at 2:00 in the morning, but it just churns. It sits there churning. Well, you know, there is a verse that talks about bringing into captivity every thought. And it's a challenge for me to say, okay, Lord, and I've done this, is talking to the Lord, say, okay, I tell you what, if I'm going to be awake and can't go back to sleep, Lord, I would like for you to help me to think of scripture, think of songs, things that would be a help to me spiritually. And I'm thankful for the times that he has done that. And it may not be just at night, but just when I have spare time and my mind goes to wandering, let it wander to things of God. This is not about that I'm building something myself. This is about just telling the Lord I put more value on the things that you have. Want to make heaven my home. There is a verse in Proverbs 15. And 24. The way of life is above to the wise, that he may depart from hell beneath. I was looking at the commentary on that. It said the way a wise man takes to obtain life is to place his heart, his treasure, and his conversation on things above. There's a verse that says, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Putting value on the things that I think about. And realizing that, you know what, this can have a benefit to me. What was it when we first started out? If you then be risen with Christ, if I've got a testimony that I'm risen with Christ, then seek those things which are above. Set your affections on things above and not on things of the earth. And here's some things that it will do for us. I was looking at Paul and all that he went through, and he said something in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. Because he was able to take a look at some things and compare them to eternal. 4th chapter, and in this, starting the 16th verse. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, this is Paul that said, talking about a light affliction, which is but for a moment. He had so many times that he was beaten, shipwrecked. I'll just think about the time when his own countrymen turned against him. And those men banded together and said, we won't eat again until Paul is dead. You know what that does to your self-esteem? I don't have anybody that's on my side. He would go to one city, start having success in preaching the gospel, and here would come these people behind him. And the people in that city were wanting to worship him at the beginning of the chapter, and they've stoned him before the chapter is over. And he went through all of that, and yet he was able to see it this way. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, somehow that heavenly vision that he had helped him to realize, if I can attain that, I've got it forever. If I live 80 years here, it's very small. Worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen. The things that are seen was the beatings that he was getting and the things that were happening. But let's look at the things which are not seen. The things which are seen are temporal. Things which are not seen are eternal. Yes. We're going to have things come into our life that we're comparing. Let's be able to separate the temporal from the eternal. I would never trade anything for that chance of making heaven my home. And I want the Lord to be able to recognize that. And when it's otherwise, you know, every way of a man is right in his own eyes. I feel like, yes, my treasures are on the other side. Should they not be, Lord, would you come along and visit me to help me to be able to have the right perspective in my life? There's a song, Pilgrim of Jesus, number 213. Courage and onward pursue. It says a crown of rejoicing is waiting for thee. Ever keep heaven in view.
Yes, amen.
Courage, my brother, right onward pursue. Ever keep heaven in view. when choices come to us, decisions that we're going to make, that I would be able to compare them with heaven. And I'll be willing to do whatever it takes. I want to make heaven my home. There is another verse right as the Bible closes out. Jesus saying, surely I come quickly.
Yes.
You know what? If I have done what this message has encouraged us to do, what the scriptures have encouraged us to do, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. If I have learned to do that, then I can answer like John did.
Yes.
Jesus said, surely I come quickly. You know, John could have said, but the stock market is up. My retirement is looking good. I've got so many things I want to do. Did he say it? Mm-mm. Surely I come quickly. His next response was, even so come, Lord Jesus. May I live my life to where I would be able to say the same thing. What's that going to mean? It's going to mean me balancing temporal with spiritual. Because I have to take care of temporal. I'll be going to work tomorrow, Lord willing. I'll be putting some money back for retirement. But you know what? If all that goes away, how I'm going to be able to tell if my treasure was on the other side is what it does to me. Job, to me, was a great example. We can be able to say, and I've thought about this before, we don't know the direction our country will take. It could crash and everything be gone. But you know what? When the Lord is there with us, we can pick up. Job did. Picked up from nothing and went again, and God blessed him. It doesn't mean we have to have wealth again. But you know what? He can bless us with just his presence with us. I thought about these greeters at Walmart. You know what? If along comes my time and I think, okay, I'm almost there to retirement. And then they say, whoops, the stock market crashed and it's gone. Could I stand there at Walmart and greet people with a smile? Or would they after one day say, you're fired. You don't have anything pleasant to say to anybody. Help me to put my treasure on the other side. Live my life every day knowing if it's all turned around and I lose it all, the Lord gave it. The Lord took it away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. I want to do it more in my own life. I desire your prayers.